Well, this morning, we're dealing with a subject matter that is really crucial. Paul was speaking about the institution of marriage. We talked about the husband and we talked about the wife, because the family is so important to everything that we do here in our society. It is the building block for our society. And now we find the next subject matter that Paul is going to deal with is probably one of the most challenging things you'll ever have in your life. You know what I'm talking about? Yes, that it's children. They are the most wonderful blessing and the most challenging endeavor that you'll ever strike out on. So we're going to try to find some wisdom here from the scripture to see what God has to say, what he wants from us, because we're looking how the lordship of Jesus is involved in every area of our life. And here we're looking at this area of raising children, parents and children. Verse 20 of Colossians 3, it says, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged." First of all, obedience reflects God's design for the home. Obedience. He says, "Children, obey your parents." Now, that word obey is different than we see in the portion of scripture talks about wives submit to your husbands. The submitting is a different word. It's dealing with choice. And here, this word, there aren't any choices. It is to obey. You need to obey. God's parenting, he has likened his children. He's likened us to his children. He is the father, we are his children. And his parenting is kind of the role model for our parenting. And God's parenting is always for our good. Whatever he does, it's always out of love. His motivation is love. When he does anything with his children, it's because he loves them. And his parenting is based on love. And you find that everything he does is for the benefit and for the good of those he loves. Notice in verse 17, Hebrews chapter 12, if you turn that with me to that, Hebrews 12, and we'll be there for a few minutes, verses 7 and 8. It says, "Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their fathers? If you are not disciplined," and everyone undergoes discipline, "then you are not legitimate children at all." It is a sad state of affairs that in our country, so many children have no parenting in their life. And it's detrimental to them. Now, discipline is never a fun thing. It's never a pleasant thing for the parent or the child, but it is something that is necessary and needful for everyone. We as parents, we need the discipline of the Lord. Children need the discipline of godly parents who are disciplining them because of love and out of love. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 10 and 11 says this, "God disciplines us. Discipline is always good for us, so that we might share in his holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful. But afterwards, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way." So we're finding here that that God disciplines us because he wants the good for us, and he knows that the way to get us to the place where we need to be in our lives, to have right living, holy living, He needs to bring discipline because we won't go there without his help. We need his discipline in our lives. So when you look at this discipline situation, we need to realize it in the context of love and for the good. Notice the next point. It says, godly parenting is for your good. Speaking of children, it says in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 20 through 23, my son, obey your father's commands and don't neglect your mother's instruction. Keep their words always in your heart. Tie them around your neck. And when you walk, their counsel will lead you. And when you sleep, they will protect you. When you wake up, they will advise you. For their command is a lamp and their instruction a light. Their corrective discipline is the way of life. When you neglect to discipline children, then they don't have all these benefits. They don't have counsel. They're left on their own to figure it out. And when you don't have parenting, the words of the parent is not there to protect them, to keep them from harm, because there are things that unless they're instructed about them, they'll go that way. They just don't know. They don't have any experience. They've no way they would know. And if you don't tell them, they're going to learn about it the hard way, the painful way. It protects them. It wakes, when you wake, it advises you. It gives advice. You know, so many times, as an adult, you wish you had somebody you could get advice from, like a parent. You know, sometimes, we don't have our parents anymore. And we come to those moments and we go, I wonder what Dad would have done. I wonder what Mom would have said about this. Because I don't know exactly what, I'd like to just get a little bit of advice. Get some insight from them. It is a lamp, and it also, their corrective discipline is the way of life. Correcting meaning that you're going one direction that's going to end in a bad, it's going to be end out bad. And there's a correcting, of course, that you go in a different direction. The way that brings life. That brings health to you. Now, godly parenting is for our good. It says here in this verse, it says to obey. Now, obey is dealing with authority. Someone who has authority to give you direction and tell you this is what you need to do. And it's where we learn how to relate to authority. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, honor your father and mother as the Lord your God commanded you. Then you will live long, full life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. When we learn how to deal with authority, we open the door to success in our life. A person that doesn't know how to deal with authority will never really make it in this world. They're always going to be fighting upstream. And we have a lot of that in our society today. There are people who just don't know how to deal with authority. And so they're always fighting against, always seem to be the one that's opposed and frustrated because they don't know how to deal with authority. To think of authority is something to resist and to fight against. But actually, authority can be a good thing. And we know that God is the one who has modeled for us what authority is about. And as parents, we train them how to deal with authority. If you don't know how to deal with authority, you won't know how to deal with the law. You won't know how to deal with your boss. You won't know how to deal with other people who are in authority over you, and you'll find yourself always getting into trouble. So one of the things here is there's a blessing involved when you honor authority in your life. Next, obedience, it says here, It says to obey them in everything. So in other words, obedience isn't something that is optional. You don't get to say, I like that idea, Dad. That's a good one. No, I don't think so. That next one, sorry, that doesn't work for me. You don't get those options. Obedience is something that you have to do. And in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 18, the Bible says this, discipline your children while there is hope. Otherwise, you'll ruin their lives. It's interesting, sometimes people think that discipline is something that shouldn't happen. Kids are basically good, right? People are basically good. And I should just let them express themselves and let them be all that they can be. And this discipline thing is, I don't know. Well, guess what? If you don't discipline, you're going to be disciplined. And you're going to reap the natural consequences of not leading your home. It'll come back to you. They will start to lead you. See, there's this such a natural thing where if you don't have leadership and there's just a vacuum of leadership in the home, guess what? Vacuums always have to be filled. You can't have an empty vacuum without something filling it. So what you'll find is if the husband doesn't lead, then the wife will have to lead. She won't want to, but she'll step in there and try to lead. And it'll cause a lot of stress. If the parents won't lead, then the children will lead. And they don't even realize it, but they're not happy with that. They don't feel secure. They don't feel taken care of. But they'll do it because it's a part of the natural thing where if I'm not being led, I'm going to lead. I'm going to fill the gap and fill the empty void. So when we find that we are training and disciplining our children, it gives them wisdom. Proverbs 29, verse 15. It is where you can gain wisdom. It says, to discipline a child produces wisdom, but a mother is disgraced by an undisciplined child. It's a place where you gain wisdom. Now, being intelligent, being smart is different than wisdom. There are a lot of people who are very brilliant, very smart, but very unwise. They do dumb things. Even though they're really smart, they do dumb things because they have no wisdom. Wisdom is being able to know knowledge and how to use it to the best application. And so you find that when you are training them and teaching them what God wants them to know and how to live, they can distinguish things that are good, things that are better, and things that are the best, and things that are not good at all. And it saves them a lot of grief. They learn how to be wise in the choices they make. They make good choices because they're able to discern what is the best and what is not so good. Sometimes we find that, you know, a child will say, I want freedom. I need freedom. Give me freedom. Like Braveheart needed the freedom, you know. But they don't know that freedom, to get freedom, you have to have wisdom and you have to have responsible behavior. It earns you freedom. If you don't have those ingredients, freedom will just get you in trouble. It'll just cause problems because you don't know how to use the freedom. You know, I've told my girls when they were growing up, I want to give you a lot of freedom. I want you to be able to do a lot of things. But right now I can't give it to you because you're not being responsible. And when you're responsible, then I really want to give you. You know, I don't like having to just monitor you and take, you know, I would like to be able to be free to say, because see, here's the thing, honey. Giving, if you have freedom and and you're responsible with that freedom, then that gives me freedom. And I want freedom too. So being able to have wisdom and making good decisions and being able to choose well makes it so you can say, you know what? You can handle this challenge. You can take this responsibility. You can do with these things because I know that you're responsible. I know that you have wisdom how to deal with this situation. And so I'm happy to give you the freedom to do these things. Now, if you can imagine that you have a phone that you just got, and it is sweet. It does everything that you could possibly want to do. And a friend of yours says, you know what, I need, you know, my phone, I left it at home, and I need to, could I use your phone? I'll give it back this afternoon. I just need a couple things, and I have to, could I, and you go, you know what, I'm going to trust him. He's responsible. You give him the phone. Later in the afternoon, where'd he go? He's not here. What happened? So you're trying to find him, trying to get a hold of him. You're calling from home, you're calling the number, your own phone number, and it's not. He's not answering. There's nothing happening. And then later that day, you know, he shows up, and he's all smiles, and here's your phone. I thank you so much. It really helped. And you're going, oh, okay, great. And then you try to use it, and it won't work. What happened? Oh, nothing. I just dropped it in the water, and what were you doing? Oh, I was just messing around with some guys, and, you know, what? So you get a new phone. Spend a few $100, get a new phone, get it replaced. And the next week he comes back and says, hey, I left my phone at home. You think I could use your... Could I borrow your phone? What is the choice you're thinking of making there? Well, you know what? You're so responsible and so trustworthy. I think I'm going to give you my phone because... No way. Not going to happen. That's why it's so important that they have training and they have wisdom, because sooner or later, they're going to have freedom. Sooner or later, they're going to be out of your care. Hope so. Hopefully, they don't live at your house at age 32. They're on their way doing responsible things. So, parenting, when you look at it, there's discipline, there's correction, there's training, there's all these things, but parenting is a heart matter. It's a heart matter. Matthew 15, verse 19 says this, for from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. When the Bible talks about parenting and dealing with children, it's not just saying you need to manage them so that they do what you want them to do. There's more to it than that. See, what we want to do is we want to take that heart of that person, that child, who's a person that needs training and shaping and molding and directing, and where does that happen? It happens in the heart. See, you can manage their conduct, you can manage their behavior, and never touch the heart. I mean, the classic example is a little kid that doesn't want to put on the seatbelt and wants to stand up in the back seat. And dad says, get the seatbelt on. And he sits down, but didn't put the seatbelt on. I said, sit down and get the seatbelt on. John, get the seatbelt on. I may be sitting here with the seatbelt on, but in my heart, I'm standing up. You know, inside, that's where the real issues are. You can put pressure on them on the outside to make them conform and behave. But sooner or later, that won't do any good. Your pressure on the outside won't do any good because they're 22, they're 25, they're 30 years old, they're on their own. And all your threats and all your intimidation, all your anger and all the things that you do to try to get them to conform and to obey and do what you want don't work anymore because their heart hasn't been dealt with. The issue is the heart. It's where everything starts. All these activities and thoughts and actions in their life start there in the heart. Now, here the Bible says fathers in verse 21, but in actuality that word could also be translated, and it is translated, parents. So it's strictly those who are in authority in the home. So it's parents. Don't embitter your children. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, it says this, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So what we want to do is we want to make it easy as possible for children to obey. Make it easy for them to obey. Now, there are some things that will make it difficult for them to follow your direction, your training, your discipline, your correction. And a couple of things I just want to look at here this morning. Number one, don't irritate your children by putting them down. Constantly belittling, cutting remarks, sarcasm, those kind of things, after a while, discourage kids. Embitter kids, make them angry, and they resist you. It can work for a while to intimidate them, but after a while, it doesn't work, it backfires. Another one, don't be overly strict and harsh. Proverbs 15:1 says this, a gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. When you're dealing with children and you are harsh, or when you're overly strict, what I mean by overly strict is that everything that they ask has the answer no. Before they even get it out of their mouth, no. No, no, no. I have one word vocabulary when I'm talking to my kids. No. After a while, it embitters them. It causes them to be discouraged. And they don't feel like that you really even care about them at all. Another thing here about this is that when you're harsh like this or respond in a harsh way, you find that they close. They're closed to you. They're not open to you. Have you noticed that when kids are real, real little, how they're totally open? They're like a regular book. Whatever is in their head comes out their mouth. They have no filters. They're totally open. But of course, that can be not a good thing sometimes, especially when you're around people who are strangers and they say things, whatever is in. What's that big thing coming out of your nose, you know, kind of thing? You know, they don't have any filters. So when you're training them, they gain to have some filters, but you still want them to be open to you. When you're harsh, they're not open anymore. They're closed. Another thing that makes it difficult for them to obey is inconsistency. Don't be inconsistent and always changing the rules. Inconsistency makes makes it so that it's hard to trust. It's hard to open up to somebody and to respond to somebody. If you are unreliable, if you make promises that you never or hardly ever keep, and you always have excuses of why, oh yeah, I did promise that, but I can't do it because there are occasions, sure, there are things happen and you have to change and they have to adjust to that. But when you find that that's a lifestyle, that's a habit, that's the way you deal with them, and it's all about whatever's in the moment, and they can never count on you. It depends on your mood. This is a rule now because I'm angry. But next week, it's okay. It's confusing. It's irritating. It's exasperating. It's frustrating. Those things will make it difficult for them to obey, because they don't know where the lines are anyhow. They don't know where the boundaries are. And it's very, very frustrating for them. Another one, don't keep your children at a distance. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, in our society, one of the things that are highly prized is efficiency. We are a very efficient culture. We get a lot of things done. We work hard, we work long hours, and we can do several things at one time. We can multitask and we get a lot of things. And we're very much task-focused a lot of times. But sometimes that can get in the way of relating to our children. And we find that even when we're in the room, we're not there. You understand what I'm talking about? You can be in the room, but your mind is somewhere else doing and planning, thinking about, worrying about, figuring on. And so when they're there and they want to interact with you, you're not available. And you're pushing them away. You're starting to putting distance between you and them. And when you do that, then they get the message that you're not available. So what do they do? They look for somebody else that's available. And that may not be a good thing. So those are the things that make it very difficult for a child to obey, to cooperate, and to not be embittered and to be resisting. Now, what we want to do is look for opportunities to see heart change. Looking for opportunities to see heart change. Now, you can't see the heart clearly like God does. You know, when God was picking a new king for Israel, he had Samuel go to the family of David. And David was the youngest. And you remember the story? Samuel went through all the different sons. The first one was a handsome guy, he was very intelligent, just looked like, wow, that's the guy. And God said, no, he's not the one. And he said this, Samuel, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. God is able to see what's the real person inside. We don't always see that, but we can get clues. We can get some inclination of what is going on in their heart. Now, what is the heart? Well, let me tell you about here what is important about the heart. The heart is where important struggles take place. Sometimes you can see that your child is struggling. There's things that are going on in their heart. When they're struggling, that's a matter of the heart. And that's what you want to deal with, is those areas where they're struggling. It is where decisions and commitments are made. They have in their own heart, in their own mind, they have things that they're thinking about and decisions that they're contemplating of making. And you may not know it. And you want to find out what decisions they're contemplating. You want to find out what things they are committed to. Because as they're committed to something, that'll determine the actions and the course that they're starting to take. So those things are a matter of the heart. It's where we feel close to others. When you have a heart that's open to someone, that means they're ready to have a closer relationship with them. So a heart is the area where you have closeness, where you have connection, where you have sharing together, where you have an openness with your child. They're able to come close to you, and there's not this reticence to come near you. They are open to you. And so that's all in the heart. It's where we experience emotions, feelings, anger, love. All kinds of emotions are felt. They're in the heart. They're in the deep part of you and the deep part of your child. And so you want to take a look at that area of their life, and you want to find out what emotions are there. Oh, there's anger there, or there's, oh, disdain. Wow. Where did that come from? Look at that. They're just open and affectionate. What's that about? Where did that come from? You start to look at the emotions and try to see from those things what's going on in their heart. It's where temptation and desires develop. They may not even be aware of it, but that's what happens, is that there are certain desires that are, there's something that inspires or starts to, catalyst is what I want to say, that those desires and those things that would be getting them to go to a certain direction, they are in the heart. And it's where temptation starts to start. You as a man is thinking these things in his heart, these temptations are there. And it's when you start to respond to those temptations in your heart that you start to go that direction with your life. It's where we connect with God. It's where change begins. You can't have change, real change, without something happening in the heart. You can have change because you're just complying, but you take the whatever force is making that person comply, take that away, and behavior changes. So what you want to have is something that where you are influencing the heart. Because you affect the heart, you affect the real direction and behavior and a life of your child. Now, heart changes in your home start with your own heart. When you're looking at a situation, and your child is displaying, they're not doing what you've asked them to do. And you gave them this instruction to do. I want you to take care of, clean your room. Oh boy, that's a big one. Clean your room. Now, how I'm going to handle that, I need to examine my heart first. Why am I wanting them to do this now? Why is this important? Why am I so angry when I saw their room? Where are these things coming from? What is the reason for me having these things and these thoughts? Because that's what you need to deal with. You need to know the reason why I'm wanting to have this done. What's the reason why I want to discipline them on this situation? Because sometimes we ask kids to do something because it's a convenience for us. Because I don't want to be bothered with it. Or it gives them something to do to get them out of my hair. Or, you understand what I'm saying? There's all kinds of reasons why we do things with kids. Well, a lot of times kids figure that out. what that reason is, and you may not be aware of it. You need to find out why am I doing what I'm doing with my kids? Is this an issue that will benefit them, that God wants me to instill in their life for their benefit, or is this a matter of getting them out of my hair? Because one is something that's going to be a benefit to them. The other is just, you're going to find it's going to be an issue of contention. Now, what do I want them to learn is a good question to ask. Not just, what do I want them to stop? Because you can get them to stop a lot of different things. Just give them certain consequences, and a lot of times that behavior will stop. Or give them certain rewards, and certain things will change. But it doesn't necessarily deal with the heart. The heart has to have reasons of why these things are important. And so when you're looking at the heart, you have to say, why? What is it that they need to know to be able to buy into this quality of that they need to have in their life? In other words, be able to be, what's a quality that's good? Honesty. Trustworthiness. When someone says, when a child says, okay, I'll do it. I'll get it done by 3 o'clock before you get home. I'll have it done. And you come and you find out it's not done. And we have this little dance going. You know what I'm talking about? You go, what? How come it's not done? Oh, I had this, excuse, I didn't, What? How come you need to get that done? Okay, I'm getting to it. I really will, And you go back and you're doing stuff and trying to get things done. You come back and it's not done. What's the deal? How come you're not doing it? And you're doing all kinds of nice little words and things, and they're still not responding. Until you get to that, it's a certain decibel level and has a certain inflection, and they know, oh, now it's time to start. Because we've trained them to that's where you do things. And you just wait until the pressure gets to a certain level, and then you do things. Then it's time to move. They need to realize it's not just about avoiding mom and dad's anger. That's not what we're trying to learn, how to avoid our anger. How not to get mom and dad upset. That's the whole point of child rearing. That's what we're trying to train them, is how not to tick mom and dad off. No, that's not all. We want them to learn how to be responsible. There's certain skills that they need to succeed in life. And if you don't have these skills, you're not going to make it. Having where you trustworthy, that someone can trust you, is foundational for your life. If you don't have that skill and that ability, if you don't have that character quality of trustworthiness, all your relationships are at risk. Whether it be with your boss, whether it be with your spouse, whether it be with your kids, your friends, whatever. Trust is foundational. If you don't have trust, you don't have a relationship. So you need to teach them and you need to train them so that they know that certain things are important in and of themselves for their benefit. And if they don't do these things, if they don't learn these skills, it will impede their ability to do what they need to do in life, what they want to do in life. So it's not just about ticking me off and making me angry. And so, again, that goes back to me examining your heart. Why am I ticked off? Because this is inconveniencing me. Because I don't like messes. Because I want it cleaned. Enough said. Another question to ask yourself when you're examining your heart. Is anger my main motivation for discipline? If that's the case, you need to re-examine and say, Lord, why is this anger here? Where is it coming from? And what is the reason that you want me to have? What is supposed to be motivating me? Love, Roger. Love. Oh, yeah, right. That's right. Right. I forgot. I thought it was get him out of my hair. So you examine your heart and say, why am I angry? Why am I responding this way? What is this irritation coming from? What is bringing this about? And you examine your heart so that you can deal with those issues. Once you deal with those issues, then you can deal with the issue that's dealing with the child. Now, find out what's going on in their heart. How do we do that? Here's a couple of things that the Bible talks about. Be a good listener. Be a good listener. Luke chapter 6 and verse 5 talks about whatever comes out of the mouth starts in the heart. So being able to be a good listener, you're able to hear what they say, not just the words, but what the meaning and the things behind those words is what you're looking for, so that you can see what's going on in the heart. And sometimes you may not have it exactly right, and you may need to ask some follow-up questions. You may need to probe. You may be able to see. Now, when I'm talking about asking questions, they're to get information, not to shut them up, not to pressure them, or you're trying to find what's going on in there first. Listening is a fantastic and an important skill. Again, you have to deal with some things in your own heart before you can do that, because sometimes when you are talking with them, you kind of want to, you know where this is going. You ever had that happen? I know where this is going. I'm going to shut it right now. And you just tell them you just go to the summarized version of what we're doing here. I know this. Doom, bing, bing, let's go. Well, that's going to shut them up. You want them to talk. You want them to express what's going on. Now, there are times where there are some kids that they use that as a stall tactic. You know what I'm talking about? They can talk and talk and talk, and you're going, okay, got the picture. Enough. Let me summarize. See what you're saying this, right? Yeah, okay, got it. No need for more talk. Now let's deal with some solutions. So listening is important. Now, they've talked to kids and done surveys with children, and one of the important things that to kids is that you do listen. And it's important that when you are listening that you control your emotions. I don't know about you, but sometimes I would get irritated and I'd have to just self-control and just listen, because I'd want to react. That's not the best way to do things. Another way to find out what's in the heart is to look at what they treasure. Matthew 6:21 says, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. So what is important to them? What motivates them? How do they spend their time? What are the things about them that makes them tick? What excites them? What are they passionate about? You need to find out those things, because it helps with motivation. It helps with directing them to who they are, because you have to find out who they are, what they are as children, because every child is one of a kind and they're different. Discipline and correction are good. Proverbs 12:1. To learn, you must love discipline. It is stupid to hate correction. Now, this is Solomon speaking to his son. He gave some directions for him. To learn, you must love discipline, and it's stupid to hate correction. So let's look at some of these terms. Discipline. It's training that corrects, molds, or perfects the mental faculties or moral character. Then we talk about correcting. Correcting's role is to point out error and redirect a person into a more successful path. These things take training. They take time. It doesn't happen right away. We all have things that we need to learn and to grow in, and we don't do them right the very first time. We need practice. We need continued encouragement. We should continue to reinforce the things that are good in our lives. It's like, when you're learning how to ride a bike, you have certain restrictions on your ability to ride that bike. You have training wheels because you know that you have to have training wheels because you won't be able to ride that thing without training wheels. You need to learn how to balance yourself. You need to know how to do all these things together at one time. So you have a certain part of training is to get you to a place where you have those skills. Once you start to have those skills, then you can take off the training wheels. Then you can just start doing what you need to do. So training is awfully important. And correcting certain things in our life because those things will lead them in the wrong direction. For instance, if you're in a sport, and you're a coach, you're looking for how to make the team better. And you're looking at the different athletes you have under your care, under your tutelage, so to speak, and you notice that certain skills and abilities need to be improved. So you have to train them. You have to correct things. You say, no, you need to put it on this way. No, when you hold it, you have to hold it this way. You give them instructions, and then they have to practice it. Then they have to continue to do it over and over again until they become good at it. All these things are a part of that. Now, correction and discipline aren't the most pleasant things, especially if you think you're okay. I remember watching this commercial, and this guy was just throwing the ball with his son. I don't know if you ever saw this commercial. The dad was just horrible. He had a kind of a throw, you know? It was terrible. And guess what? His son, he'd praise him. His son would just kind of think too. It was awful. They both need a coach. They need someone to correct them and change them. Now, imagine you're thinking you're doing pretty good, and then someone comes along and says, you know what? This is not making it. You need to, what? How dare you tell me how to do? I can do it. Especially kids. Kids don't like to be. Now, let me show you how to. No, I can do it, Mom. Yes, you can after I tell you how to do it. You know, there's some training that needs to take place. So discipline and correction are good because they will help you. Now, children are like a garden. I thought of this illustration. It kind of gives us a picture of what children are like. You have these plants that are the children there in that garden. Now, the problem is there's also weeds in the garden. And it's our job to find where are the weeds? We have to see the weeds first because we need to eliminate those weeds. Sometimes parenting People think of their whole job is to eliminate weeds, and that's all they do. But the plant also needs water. It needs nutrients. It needs care in order for it to grow. So when you're talking about training children, you need to do both. You need to weed, and you need to help them grow. So when you're dealing with the matters of the heart, you're going to find out where are the weeds. What are the weeds there? And somehow you're going to say, God, help me. See where these weeds are, and then direct them in a different direction so that these things are eliminated in life. They know that these things are characters, qualities, moral character qualities that will harm them, and direct them in a direction that will be beneficial to them. Now, final thing I think is one of the most important things. Final point is pray. Because sometimes even your best efforts and your wisest, most brilliant strategies aren't making it. And you don't know what to do. Amen? We've all been there. And pray. Because see, the thing is, not only are you parenting these children, but God is also parenting these children. And I can't tell you how many times God did something that made everything change in our children's life. We were praying and God just did it. Don't know what to do. And yet God worked in their life in such a way that he did something in their heart that we could never do. So never give up. Always pray. Ask God for wisdom. Always seeking God to work in their heart and change them from the inside out. Because God can do that in your child's life. Now, parenting is a skill. And there are a lot of things that I couldn't cover on in this short period of time. But what you want to do is get as many resources as you can when you're dealing with children. Because it's not a pursuit where you want to have learn as you go. So I think it's wise to take as much help as you can. If you have elders, grandparents, getting their advice, pastors, authors, that you can gain information and understanding, the more you have, the better it will be. So let's close in prayer and ask the Lord to direct these things to our heart. Father, we thank you that you are our Father and that you have given us these children for a reason, and that you will equip us and that you will enable us, Lord, to raise them in the knowledge of you. Lord, we pray that you would bring these thoughts and the things that you'd want us to hold on to, that you'd bring to our mind, and that we'd think on them, that we'd meditate on them, that we'd chew on them, Lord, and have them reside in our heart and change the way we look at discipline, when we look at parenting, and see the direction that you have given us in your word. Lord, we pray you bless our families. Bless our children. Protect them. Strengthen them. And lead them in the paths that you have destined for them. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing in closing, Blessed Be your name. Here we go. Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Blessed be the
name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name.
You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
You choose the humble and raise them high. You choose the weak and make them strong. You heal our brokenness inside and give us life. The same love that set the captives free. The same love that opened eyes to see is calling us all by name. You are calling us all by name. The same God that spread the heavens wide. The same. aside and speak the